Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the automotive and automotive social media worlds. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and this week I'm joined by Paul Wallace of Supercars of London fame.
Oh, cool.
Welcome back, your second podcast of the year, your third time on Behind the Glass.
I know.
Special feeling, right?
Yes.
You are the most regular guest, aside from Tony of Gravelwood Car Ferry. Anyway, you are joining us here in my living room once again. We are here. We are ready and ready to go. We've got our vitamin C drinks because if you don't know, in the UK, we're currently experiencing hell, i.e. an inch of snow. And it's been making us all get
feels
a bit sick.
We need a little bit of vitamin D in here as well because we're lacking sun.
So we're
end
just
of the world
trying
there.
To get those defences going. Today is the first Formula One special podcast of the year. I've been talking about it quite a bit in the podcasts that have been happening to date. By the way, if you haven't heard those, feel free to go back. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you're subscribing to this channel, turning notifications on. We do an episode every week. If you're listening to us, you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, and make sure you're following us there because we are going to be doing a lot of these F1 specials, post-races, mid-season, analysing, talking, discussing.
Mid-race even.
Mid-race. Oh, he's gone for the overtake. He's lunging. Mainly because I'm obsessed with Formula One, but also because I know Paul is. And we're going to also have a number of different Formula One themed guests coming on during the year. Yeah, oh, I'll tell you about that later.
Whoa, will be subscribing.
Lots of very exciting things. But we are doing this now because I have just returned from Formula One preseason testing.
And I've just completed my first season of F1 2017 on Xbox One.
How did that go for you?
I came third in a driver's championship racing for Force India. Second driver, but I performed outrageously.
You definitely had it on easy setting, right?
No, I didn't.
What?
I did have traction semi on, though.
Okay, yeah.
But <Pussy. laughs> I got an offer from Ferrari and Red Bull Racing.
This is so unrealistic.
As a second driver. The most unrealistic thing is I went for Red Bull Racing.
Did you?
So
oh my God.
I'm now second driver of Red Bull Racing and Max Verstappen's first.
What happened to Danny Rick?
Yeah.
That's so harsh.
That's what I thought. Codemasters need to sort that out.
Yeah, Codemasters, sort your life out. Anyway, so as you can tell, there's a lot of F1 things going on in our lives right now.
It's a very exciting time.
But it feels like an appropriate moment to do a bit of a sort of 2018 season preview and analyze the first week of testing. So if you are not interested in Formula One,
this probably
isn't the episode for you. I apologize if you're not into Formula One, if you're not interested. Please do come back next week. It will be the Geneva Motor Show special, an hour-long special with Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales. Make sure you're subscribing. An hour with Tony. Mm. Yeah, it'll be painful, won't it? But there'll be a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there will be.
So make sure you come back for that. For now, as I say, we're going to get cracking with all things Formula One. So, did you keep track of testing this week? Were you?
I did. Well, weirdly, you were in Barcelona.
Yeah.
And I was in Barcelona.
You were in Barcelona, not at the track.
Not at the track, unfortunately. But the weather this year made for an incredibly interesting few days at Catalunya.
For sure.
I followed it as much as I could via Twitter. So I haven't seen any video clips. I know I did see Alonso come off on, was it a Monday?
When his wheel flew off.
But I've been thoroughly enjoying the different variations that teams have been putting, like, different tires on, like, and just panic.
There's just
been panic in the pits because no one knows what to do. No one's tested with a beast from the east.
A beast from the east.
Because whilst I was in Barcelona, sorry to jump back in.
Please.
When I was in Barcelona, it was snowing
okay.
on the Monday that I was there and the Tuesday.
Yep.
And they said it hadn't snowed like that since 2003.
Whoa! I have to say, people looked really scared. Like, yeah. They just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And that did tie into the Formula One paddock. So I was there on the Tuesday, which was very cold but dry. On Monday afternoon, they had a bit of rain. On Wednesday, they were completely snowed out. And then on Thursday, which was yesterday, the final day of testing, again, it was pretty cold, but they got some good running in. The thing being that I think, unfortunately, the reason it was such a shit show, like you mentioned, is that it was very hard for them to really do any meaningful testing because I don't think any races of the year will be run at the same track temperatures that they were operating at testing. It was struggling to get into double figures for track temperature. And if you're new to Formula One or don't know about that, that is a disaster because essentially, whilst aerodynamics and power and all that stuff are very important, the things touching the ground are the tyres and they are quite crucial and they have to operate at a very high temperature. I heard around 100, 120 degrees Celsius? Degrees Celsius?
Just, yeah. Just 100 degrees.
100 degrees.
Of something.
100 degrees. I tuned out of that bit of the briefing. And as I say, so operating on a track that was about 6 degrees, they were really struggling to get the temperature in the tyres, at which point the running became a little bit pointless. Mm. So there's not a lot that we can disseminate from the actual running, apart from the final day, which we will touch on towards the end. So what I thought we could do instead is kind of run through the teams, talk about what we think about liveries, think about what we think about the driver lineups. We are going to make predictions.
Ooh.
We're going to place a £5 bet right now on our 1-2-3 finishes for the Drivers' and Teams' Championships, which we'll then look back on at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And then also I want to discuss the halo. Very controversial topic. As I say, we're going to save that for the end. So let's kick things off with, I guess, the place to start. The current world champions, defending world champions, Mercedes now going for their fifth championship in a row. Lewis Hamilton also going for his fifth championship in a row. Not in a row, but fifth championship. God, I need that vitamin C today, don't I? So, discuss. What do you think about the look to the new car?
I mean, it's the same as last year, isn't it? And the year before. I mean,
of all the cars... Visually, it's the least, like, yours, like, cool. Same as last year, a bit of a thinner nose.
But that's not to say that it doesn't look cool, because I love the colour scheme. I think I attempted to do something very similar with my Mercedes AMG GTS, which didn't quite come off. But I do like the look of it, and I think that what we saw, even though we can't go by that much from what we saw in testing, Mercedes did look fairly strong when they were out. Like, Bottas did put in a fair amount of laps.
Bottas put in all the laps. Lewis turned up for an hour, which again we'll touch on in a second. But yeah, fundamentally the car looks very similar to previous years. But therefore, well, I mean, why would they change it drastically? Because they've been having so much success. What's the point in trying to revolutionize? They're just evolving instead.
They're creating a legacy.
That's exactly it. And you're right where they didn't do too much sort of headline activity. It was just plowing through the miles. And they didn't do that many miles in the first few days. But when they were on track, they looked very confident, very comfortable. I think worryingly good for those who are not Mercedes fans.
I think the funniest thing about Mercedes AMG is how hard they work behind the scenes. It's like an iceberg, you know. You see the tip of the iceberg, which is Lewis Hamilton that goes around on Instagram and posing his incredible life. Bottas kind of tones it down a little bit, but behind the scenes there's like 400 minions running around creating this perfect car so that when they turn up we're like, oh my god, look how fast they are. And it's all of the hard work that's been put in. They're not wasting their time designing another livery.
It's fine, let's concentrate on real stuff that gets performance. The livery's fine. So just to come on to Lewis Hamilton briefly there, because you did kind of touch upon it, I find this really interesting. The last 3 or 4 years now, he's been quite anti-winter testing. I think we all are aware that Lewis isn't a guy who, I don't know, he doesn't seem to bother with attention to detail. He turns up and he drives. That's the image that he puts out. We could all be wrong. None of us know it. Well, we don't know him personally.
No.
As much as we wish we did.
I've tried to.
But he gives off this look that, you know, whilst maybe Nico Rosberg is somebody who worked his butt off to get every single tenth of a second he could and ate raw potatoes before a race and things like that, Lewis would just turn up and drive.
Yeah.
And through winter testing, he's been kind of quite negative about it the last few years, of saying, oh, it's just boring and I don't really enjoy it. And I think that's an easy thing to say when you know your car's really good.
Yeah, because everyone else on the grid is turning up and like just so worried that their car isn't going to be any quicker.
Yeah, and desperately working with the team and with the engineers to learn everything to try and progress.
Lewis is like, whatever.
We're good.
I'm going to snowboard with Monster.
I'm quick. Our car's quick. So yeah. I'll go model for Tommy Hilfiger.
But I think that's where the love-hate relationship with Lewis Hamilton and F1 fans comes in, because he perceives himself and portrays himself as someone that just turns up. Everyone knows he's got the natural talent to be that quick, but then teamed with the fastest car on the grid, it does make his life look incredibly easy.
It does. And so just to recap for those of you who didn't see, he drove a handful of laps on Monday afternoon, decided not to turn up on Tuesday, not to turn up on Wednesday, and then turned up again in the afternoon on Thursday, and which was hilarious, was whilst Bottas had been bashing around, like putting the laps in and no big headline times, Lewis turned up on the medium tyre whilst everyone else was running around on the soft, ultra soft or hyper soft, and he set a lap time half a second quicker than anyone else. Yeah. And was like, cool, see you later guys, car feels good.
Yeah,
like it is, you're right, it's such a Marmite thing, because it's a big middle finger to the rest of the paddock who have just been slaving away trying to make their cars really good. And it was quite a depressing thing, I think, because as much as I'm a Lewis fan, I want competition in Formula One. I want
it
to be
competitive. But I think he does as well. Like, all of the interviews that he's giving and all of the press releases that he's giving, even on Instagram and Twitter and stuff, he is saying that, what was the quote that he said? He was like, I'd much rather my competitors be at their best so that when I win, it feels worse for them.
And you know what? I've noticed he's been saying this a lot more since Bottas joined.
Mm.
And I'm not, you know, I think Bottas is a great talent and he would wipe the floor clean with us on a racetrack. But I don't think he's providing the same challenge that Rosberg did. And as much as on track, I wasn't a fan of Rosberg. I'm sure he's a really nice guy in real life. But on track, he was Hamilton's rival. So of course, yeah. I was like, but I think it's often underestimated just how good Rosberg was. He made Schumacher look a little bit average.
Yeah.
And he pushed Hamilton so far that he actually ended up winning a title away from Hamilton. So yeah. I think Lewis is now feeling a little bit underwhelmed. Last year was a bit of a walkover once the car got up and running and Vettel faded away.
Well, once he turned up as well.
And this is the thing that, I'm sorry, this is quite Lewis Hamilton heavy right now. We are going to move on to the other teams and drivers in a second, but we're big Hamilton fans, so we like to go in.
Have you seen his Zonda?
Yeah. It's freaking amazing. I haven't seen it. I want to see it. I'm going to go see it. Is that what will frustrate me is if in the first 5 or 6 races, he's a bit slow to get up to speed, or he has some issues with his cars. Do you remember the year where Mercedes had those various weird technical issues?
Yeah.
And every time it happened, Rosberg knew what to push on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Rosberg figured out a way to finish the race. Rosberg somehow coaxed his car back to life.
Yeah.
Hamilton, because he hadn't been paying it seemed as though he hadn't been paying attention, or it seemed as though he didn't put as much care into the level of detail that Rosberg did, would end up not knowing what to do. And so, you know, as I say, it's hard for us to guess from the outside, but it's just the way that he presents himself.
Mm.
And I will be frustrated as a Hamilton fan if those things happen in the first few races and it takes him half a season to get up to speed.
I almost feel like Lewis Hamilton is playing F1 2017 on level easy. And you know when you like either qualify at the back you do a couple of laps with your eyes closed and then try and catch up the rest of the pack.
I've never done that, but sure.
That's probably what he's doing. He's like, for the first 5 races, you know, I'm just going to play around with the steering wheel.
Yeah.
I might not go into 7th gear when I need to.
Oh, wheel spin off the line. Oh no, what am I going to do now? Just trying to make it exciting for himself.
Then he'll come back and spar and be like, okay, now I can go.
Cool, I'll pay attention now. Anyway, so yes, I think a formidable looking force. Mercedes, I think, have got to be favourites for the title once again this year. And Lewis looking pretty strong, and funny enough, talking to quite a few people in the paddock at Barcelona, they're all pretty accepting that Lewis is the strong favourite at this point to take another championship. And that will then, I think, draw a big question mark over his future.
Mm.
And we'll talk about that, I guess, in future F1 episodes, because we need to move on to the other teams and drivers. But
there are other teams and drivers?
Nope, not in my mind. But apparently, according to our notes, there are. But yeah, if he wins a 5th championship, his contract is coming to an end. I could easily see him bowing out if it's a walkover, because I think his motivation is fading a little bit, because he wants competition.
Yeah.
And it's not there. Anyway, so yes, moving on. Now, weirdly, whilst I'm a massive Hamilton fan, we all know I'm a massive Ferrari fan.
Mm.
So Mercedes, yeah, they're great, but I do still root for Ferrari.
You always wear the Ferrari hat.
And of course, this year they've got Vettel and Raikkonen on board once again. Interesting one.
You're going to talk about livery because I can...
No, it's not. You know, I'm really upset with the livery. I talked about this with Tony in a previous episode. I'm furious because I thought Ferrari going in quite a cool way recently with adding in the Y, and there was a bit more like harking back to some, you know, Marlboro generations. And now it's just like red.
Yeah.
Really red. And I know that's a Ferrari colour, but I was just a bit like, oh, come on, guys, put the Y effort in.
Make it white. Loads of Ferraris.
Well, no, but you know, red and black, like the old 80s or 90s for early 90s Ferraris, red and black. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to get caught up on liveries, which are fundamental.
What about the Rosso?
Rosso Fuoco.
They did that one, yeah.
They did. It was called F1 2007.
I think
it's called. Yeah. It's called like F1 2007. It's a paint color.
Yeah.
The year that Raikkonen won the championship. Yeah. Really nice color. So yes. Not a lot to say for Ferrari at this point. They looked impressive, but they looked impressive last year and then they buggered it all up. Raikkonen, I think, came on a little bit stronger last year than previous years. I still think he's just a solid second fiddle to Vettel. Second fiddle to Vettel. Like, I don't think there's few other people who would do as good a job as Raikkonen.
Yeah.
But he's not there to win races.
No, but I think the worst thing about this whole relationship with Ferrari Vettel Raikkonen is he knows that. And he saw that last year as well. And
I think he kind of accepts it. Was it Monaco who was on pole? It was Monaco who was on pole. Yeah. And he was just like, I won't win.
Yeah.
He had no point. He was like, it's pole. Yeah. The race is tomorrow. I'm not going to win. So that is disheartening to see because I think we all love Kimi and he was obviously a huge talent and it is still a huge talent. But he's just kind of accepted that role of being very, like having a very nice time driving Ferrari and
slowing down before retirement.
Slowing down before retirement. Let's see how long he will be in that seat for following 2018. But yeah, Vettel, you've got to think that they're up there as competitors. But we all got so excited last year when he was doing well and it all went to poo. So I don't feel like there's a lot to say about Ferrari, do you? No. Okay. Let's move on to a team we can talk about, Red Bull.
Woo-hoo! Woo!
So I was obviously hosted in Barcelona by Aston Martin Red Bull Racing, and I say the Aston Martin part because not only was it them who invited me,
it's making my heart pound harder.
Yeah, but like they are now a huge part of that team. Firstly, I love the fact that there's a massive Aston Martin logo on the rear wing because whenever you see pictures of that car now, you see Aston Martin.
Well, it's on the front as well.
It's on the front.
As if it's an Aston Martin car.
Well, I think that's what they're kind of trying to move towards. And I think if the engine regs do change, that is what will happen. I think Aston will buy the team outright. Hugely, hugely exciting times for Aston Martin. And I think very exciting times for Red Bull. They came out on day one looking shit hot. Like we're here to not mess around because in so many previous years, since Red Bull's domination, they've started the season so slowly.
Well, do you remember last season's testing, we were both saying like, oh, they're hiding something. They've got this new tech that's coming in. They're going to be slow off the blocks, but don't worry, when they turn up in Australia, they've got some tech. Yeah. And they literally did nothing.
And it took until like Belgium for them to be like, hey guys, we're here. Like, it's like, come on. And by the end of the year, they were arguably as quick as the Mercedes.
Yeah. But Max and Ricciardo both had pretty bad reliability issues last year as well.
Ricciardo had a very unlucky year.
Yeah.
Max obviously got a couple of victories. But yeah.
Do you remember it was at Austria?
You're right, actually. He had a heart. They swapped. The luck swapped halfway through the year. But they are looking competitive.
Mm.
A strangely small number of laps in the first week. I think they definitely had some issues on the Tuesday when I was there. They had some issues on the Thursday as well. I couldn't tell whether they were niggling little issues or something quite serious. Obviously, they're still running the Renault engines. I think this could potentially be the last year of that.
I'm excited to see how they perform in the first half of the year. Because it's by far, even Lewis didn't perform in the first half of last season and still managed to win. But I think for a team like Red Bull to start building that confidence, they need to come out the blocks quick.
That's the thing. And I think when Vettel was dominating in Red Bull, oh God, I loathed Red Bull. Yeah. I was like, oh, they're so boring. Yeah. Oh God. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way about Mercedes. But the thing that is saving them right now is their driver lineup.
Mm.
Because in Ricciardo, whatever you want to call him, and Verstappen, it's so exciting. This feels like the future. This feels like serious talent. They both seem like cool, fun guys. They are epic on track, both of them. Like, slightly different driving styles, but amazing
and as flamboyant as each other,
overtaking as exactly in different ways. Yeah. I think Ricciardo's a bit more still. I have to say, let's pretend no one else was a competitor this year. If Red Bull were the championship contenders, I do think I would put my money on Danny Ric. Over a season, I think he has that consistency. I think he has the right mental, he has the right attitude.
Yeah.
I think Verstappen is still a little bit...
Too young.
I think he's a little bit reckless. I think he's getting better and better, but he needs to iron out a few things. And I think in a championship battle, it might boil over with him. I could be totally wrong, but that's where I would put my money, is Danny Ric.
But remember... Was it two seasons ago when Rosberg and Hamilton smashed into each other on corner three of Catalunya?
Yeah.
And Verstappen did not crack under pressure.
No,
led for like, and that was his first.
But he's won a lot of races like that. Yeah. I just think it's different between winning a race and winning a championship.
True.
And I do really think, and I think it really, if it's a inter team battle like that, I think Danny Ric's ever smiling personality would chip away at you.
Yeah.
I think the more stressed out you'd get, you'd be like, stop smiling. Stop having such a good time. This means a lot to us. Really exciting things, I think.
I just think they're both dudes.
And
didn't Ricciardo win best overtake of last season?
Did he?
At Baku?
Remind me.
Home straight.
Yes, amazing. Three cars, something like that. Yeah, a couple of Williams.
I think that was overtaken.
That was amazing. Yeah, he's amazing. He's incredible. Yeah. And let's hope that they sort their reliability out and have a solid year, because it would be very exciting for everyone.
As well, he started at the back and then worked his way through. He's done it a few times. At the tail end of last season, he did it two or three races.
Yes, you're right. He had a lot of engine penalties. And both of them did for Red Bull. Okay, let's move on to Force India.
I love that team.
Why did you go?
Because the car looks awful.
Yes. Okay. So second year with the pink livery.
But last year, am I not right in saying that it was a satin?
It was just a cooler livery, wasn't it?
What's that?
There's this lovely flower arrangement we have here. Just drooped and died right in front of our eyes.
Is it because it was so fresh last season that they changed to pink that we were like, whoa?
I just think it was a better livery. I don't like the white. I don't like the white that they've introduced.
I think the pink is too overly saturated. You know when they go into...
I think it's too pink.
Yeah, like I think they've gone into paint and oversaturated the pink.
Maybe. Yeah, it looks a little bit more gimmicky than it did last year. Mm. I have to say, on track as well. Like, it's eye-catching, and obviously they're getting paid a ton of money to have it. The big question is, finishing fourth in the championship last year, having a really strong year... Can they repeat that? Because Force India definitely overachieve.
They overachieve and they slip under the radar all the time.
All the time.
Perez is by far one of the fastest drivers out there.
He's killing it. He's absolutely killing it. He had his blip in McLaren and he's now killing it.
But then Ocon was the most reliable driver because he only got knocked out or sort of his car failed him at the tail end of last season, and apart from that, he'd always finished his races.
I'm going to make a big claim and say that Ocon will be a championship contender of the future. I actually rate him above Perez. I think Perez is great, but I think Perez probably had his moment and slightly blew it.
Yeah.
And I think he will slightly go down the roots of a Yano Trulli or, you know, like a great
poor guy
or like a Nick Heidfeld, like really great driver, but never quite able to make that step up.
Yeah.
Ocon, I think, is going to go from strength to strength. I think we will see him in a championship winning team at some point, a Mercedes, a Ferrari, a Red Bull, whatever it might be. I think that guy is serious talent.
Yeah.
And I hope this year he kind of takes a step on and puts Checo away a little bit, just so that people can sort of really be aware of that talent. And I hope for Force India's sake that they remain as competitive. I think they're going to really struggle to hold onto that fourth place this year, because I just think a lot of other people have stepped up the game, as we're going to talk about.
Yeah. The one thing that I kind of want to talk about, Perez and Ocon, would you like to see them fight more, or would you like to see them work more as a team?
Fight more. It's hilarious. Last year, how many crashes did they have together on track? It was brilliant.
Talking about Ricciardo and Verstappen and their sort of relationship as a sort of flamboyant duo, I feel like Perez and Ocon are literally like ice hockey players. Where they just fight on the track.
I see them, bang! They just drove into each other, full on.
It's brilliant. And Force India must freak out.
I think
together on track.
It's a weird one, because that car was so good and because they were scoring points. I don't know whether they saw it as a little bit of good publicity. I don't know if there's like a subconscious side of them.
I was just about to say that because they got a lot of airtime.
And they might need, you know, they need money. They need to finish up high in the championship to get that money. But don't forget that they also get money depending on how much airtime they get on TV.
Yeah.
And I don't think they were out there going, guys, crash, should we get on TV? But I think maybe there was somewhere subconscious dig down.
There's some drama.
Going, it's not the end of the world because Ocon still got 3 points or whatever. Because that's kind of what happened. It was quite rare they actually took each other out. You know, maybe they would crash and one of them would bugger off, but then the other person would still finish sixth or seventh.
Yeah.
So they got lucky. As I say, I think they're going to really struggle to hold on to fourth, but I really hope they do because it's a brilliant story for Formula One that an independent team like that can do so well.
I'm going to say I kind of hope they slip down.
Oh, really?
Because I really want to see McLaren up there.
Yes. Okay, well,
I'm jumping a gun.
Yes.
Sorry. You're getting ahead of myself.
The other thing is that there's a very solid chance that by Australia they're not going to be called Force India.
Yeah, because that was supposed to happen before the start.
So it's happening over
season.
Winter, and they're saying it still might happen. We get one shot each. What would you like Force India to be called by the time they get to Australia?
The Pink Panther.
Pink Stars. I honestly think there should be something pink in there.
Like, yeah,
okay,
it
so
to.
Pink Panther and Pink Thumb. Can you imagine? And it's Checo Perez for the Pink Panther Racing Team. I'm like, come on, that's amazing.
Pink Panther F1.
Okay, let's move on to what I think is probably a little bit of a depressing topic.
Go on.
Williams. Oh, dun dun dun.
I always have a soft spot for Williams.
Yes, I think we all have a soft spot for Williams. Williams is that team that I think we all want to succeed. Like, obviously had so many glory days in various eras of
Juan
motor
Pablo
racing.
Montoya.
Juan Pablo.
Best car ever on the F1
But,
grid.
Like, Damon Hill, like, you know, like...
Yeah, back
I think
in the day.
In every era, like 70s, 80s, no, 80s, 90s...
Williams has always
noughties,
had.
They were always there at some point, except for... this decade. We're now in 2018. We've got 2 years left for them to get up there. And they had that one season. When was it? Massa and Bottas, 2015?
It was
14 or 15. Where they were competitive, but they were never going to win a race. They were just competitive because they had that brilliant Mercedes engine and they got lucky. Things have slowly been, I think, unfortunately declining for them. And we have to kick things off. There's a lot to talk about with Williams, but we have to kick things off with the driver lineup.
Yeah.
So they've kept Lance Stroll.
Yeah.
Who I think, you know what? I think he earned his place.
I think he earned his place. And I think seeing in the testing as well, I think he's coming out of his shell a little bit more. And he's now got that first season under his belt. Like, he's made his mistakes and he said the wrong things. Like, oh yeah, I always crash in a corner on the PlayStation. In Monaco. Like, yeah, Lance, I crash in Monaco on the PlayStation as well.
Dude,
but
you're a pro Formula One driver,
an actual
Lance.
Driver.
I think he got a lot of slack for having, you know, paid for a seat, as so many Formula One drivers do, but people never like to talk about it. And so he got a lot of pressure for that, being too young, but, you know, not necessarily owning
maybe,
the seat.
Maybe like, but you need that season. I feel like he needed that season. And he's still there. And like you said, he's earned his place now. And I think he's going to have... if the car is competitive, I think he's got the talent. And I think over the next few years, I think it's going to be quite exciting to watch him.
Hashtag if the car has the... So let's move on to the second driver in the team, the very controversial Sergei Sirotkin. Now, you don't know much about Sirotkin, do you?
I don't know.
He's been floating around for a while.
I know he's Russian.
He's Russian. He has got big money behind him. But, you know, as I say, Alonso had big money behind him when he had Santander following him around the world. So he had big money behind him. And he's been floating on the edges for a long time. I think there was a moment where he nearly joined Sauber when he was like 16.
Wow. Okay.
He very nearly got the Renault drive.
So he has talent.
Well, this is the question.
But we had this conversation about Stroll last year. Like, does he have talent?
This is the question. Is the...
He hasn't proved himself.
Whenever he's been knocking on the door, the article has always said it was money.
Yeah.
That's why he was knocking on the door. When he was 16 and people were mentioning him, it was because he had all this money. Same with Stroll, though. My question is, if you're really that good, and I know a lot of people out there are going to say it's not about always talent in Formula One, why didn't you get a seat earlier?
Yeah.
Why? You know, because... I know that it's all to do with money. To get that seat into Formula One is a lot to do with money. It's not down to talent. But if you're very, very talented, I think you do find a way to get in somehow.
Yeah, but I mean...
Even a test day or something. Like, he did plenty of young drivers tests.
I think those drivers are so few and far between, though, because they don't come through the ranks that often.
But look at Ocon. I know he's a Mercedes young driver, but look at Verstappen. Look at these people that...
That's two.
A big talent...
Hamilton.
Perez. Hamilton. Let's look at the thing. Van Dorn.
Yeah.
Gasly.
Yeah, but I mean, Van Dorn hasn't...
Magnussen. Sainz. Leclerc this year.
You're
like,
just reading everyone now.
But
like, you're... I think
these are really talented people.
You're going for, like, the standout drivers, which...
But that's what you need to be. Formula One's best of the best.
Of course, yeah. But even out of the 20 that we've got written down here, like, to me, Hamilton and Verstappen are the only real standout talents. Natural talents.
Punchy thing to say. Okay, I think maybe we're being unnecessarily harsh on Sorokin because we haven't seen him race.
I think you are.
We haven't seen him race. My big thing
is... I hope you don't have Russian listeners.
No, maybe I do. What's up, guys?
I think you should show him some more support.
I'm not going to get on the band camp of like, should I put Kubica in the car? Because I think he just... I don't think he's ready, Kubica. Mm. I think that's the whole thing. But what I'm saying is if Williams are going to start to struggle, if Williams are slightly going down the pecking order... Do we think it's good that they've got two very young and relatively inexperienced drivers? And Claire Williams' big argument is like, why is everyone giving such a hard time? We're promoting young talent. We're bringing up talent through the ranks. You know, other teams should be like us. But what they're missing there is that you need experience sometimes to help push a team forward, help develop a car. And these two young guys might not be able to help do that. They could. We don't know. We're going to find out.
I just think having those two guys in Williams cars is cool. And I think they are going to be a little bit loose on the track. Mm. And it might cause for some exciting action. Whether they're like sort of defending wrong or going for some punchy lunge or whatever it is. I think they're going to bring back that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sort of immaturity to the F1. Which...
But how is that good for Williams?
Airtime.
No,
they need all the sponsors they can get.
Well, no, but this is the thing: is they're losing sponsors. This is the problem. So the big news that came out around testing is that Martini, unfortunately, aren't going to be renewing their sponsorship
end
deal
of the season,
of Williams,
isn't it?
And that is because parent company, which is the Bacardi Group, have said that they don't want to put any money into Formula One anymore. Mm. They don't see it as being in line with their corporate messaging. Who knows whether that's the truth or not? There were some rumors that because both their drivers are now under the legal drinking age, that's why they couldn't have Martini branding on the car, because Stroll couldn't wear any of the Martini branded clothing last year. But I think that's probably not true. Mm. I think probably Williams just haven't provided the results, Martini went in there looking to join a team that was going to do well.
But do you think stripping back these main sponsors is going to bring back that Frank Williams passion into the Williams team?
No, I think they're just going to run out of money. And
really?
Yeah. I think I would be shocked at the day that Williams closed down. I think they're too important to Formula One.
Yeah.
I think they will always be there. And if you look at their history, the way they've managed to survive throughout the years with lack of funding, they're going to be there. And I think Claire Williams as well has got the same determination that Frank did.
Mm.
But I think without funding, they're going to really struggle. And they need to look at Force India and go, how are they doing what we should be doing?
Yeah.
Like, how are Force India doing so well? And how are we just not performing at the same level? And the reason I'm saying this is that they didn't look particularly strong in testing.
No.
It's like very hard to analyze first week results.
Yeah.
But they didn't do anything that impressive.
Well, didn't I text you to be like, is this lap time a joke?
Why is Sorokin 30 seconds slower?
It was like, who was it that did it? I don't know. Paul Dresta. He raced it hungry, didn't he?
Yeah, when he turned up.
He was just like, he was so off the pace.
Oh, sorry, okay. Because
his experience was in the latest F1 cars. He hadn't driven an F1 car in ages.
Yeah, and he was like 3 seconds off. They're like, oh, that's really impressive.
he did it right, though. Paul Dresta did it right.
Paul Dresta did it right. Go on, Paul. I worry for Williams is basically where it's at. I worry for Williams. I think it's great that they got Kubica. I think that's a great story. And I think he's going to do a lot of test days. And I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he did a race.
I think it would be cool to see.
I think whether it's for Stroll or Sorokin or whatever, I just think that might happen as a news story, as a press story, as an opportunity. But have you watched the onboard footage of him with the Halo device that Williams released?
No.
So they released a helmet cam of Kubica in the car, in the Williams with the Halo device. The first thing I noticed is his right hand, the dodgy arm, barely operates the wheel.
So he's almost driving one-handed.
He's basically driving one-handed. Like, you can see it's gripping there, but it just looks like it's supporting the wheel.
Yeah.
And I think if he had a hint of the talent that he did have, that's not,
can you imagine
his speed, so if he had the hint of the speed that he did, I'm sure he still has talent. I think Williams would have signed him up in a flash.
Yeah,
I think the fact they've chosen Sorokin is not all down to money. I think it's probably down to the fact that maybe Kubica is not able to.
Can you imagine doing a Rouge with one hand?
Oh my god,
200 miles.
Oh my god. But yeah, I mean,
I'm in full support of Williams. I would love to see Stroll step up to the plate, take that first drive and just be like, Come on in.
Like,
let's have it.
Go on, Stroll.
And just sit up Ocon's ass.
Sit up Ocon's ass.
On?
I don't know.
Probably the right word.
Either way, it sounds a bit weird. Let's move on to another team that we, I think, all love or want to succeed. The wonderful, the marvellous McLaren. McLaren-Renault now.
Yeah.
Who arguably and have actually won, officially, the best livery of the year. And I would say that they probably... I love it. I think the car looks incredible.
I like the Renault, but...
Yeah, Renault looks nice as well. Yeah. A lot of people like the Renault, but I just think... Being around it, seeing it in the flesh and seeing some pictures, I think the McLaren just looks stunning. It's not just down to the livery. I just think it's a beautiful looking car.
Yeah.
They had a tricky first week. They had a good Thursday, the final day.
Yeah, like, I think it's nice to see them much higher up in terms of pace than where they have originally sat, especially over the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. They definitely went for some headline grabbing times. I think there's a very obvious strategy. So Zak Brown, who's now obviously running things over at McLaren, is he's a commercial guy. Like, he was the guy going out there getting advertising or sponsorship deals for a lot of these teams for many, many years. He is very aggressively, I think, created a big, large space on that McLaren saying, advertise here.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe they went for a few headline grabbing times to try and nail down a few sponsors that they've been speaking to. But they look competitive.
Yeah, I think that's the most exciting thing, because I remember we were at Monza and McLaren qualified incredibly well, like eighth and ninth, somewhere around there. And I remember overhearing eavesdropping a discussion amongst a couple of other F1 fans going, how cool is it to see McLaren a little bit further up?
Because people want McLaren back up there. Yeah. You know, they're one of the most, or probably the second most iconic team in Formula 1.
Yeah.
And they start to come good towards the end of the year. I mean, I say come good, it was towards the end of the top 10, but compared to previous years.
The last three or four races, they were strong.
They were strong. The livery looks great. They got Renault on board, so fingers crossed they'll have some more reliability, but we're going to talk about how well Toro Rosso Honda have been doing in a second. And there's hope. I don't think they're going to be winning races.
No.
But I think they are a solid shout for that fourth place in the championship.
Yeah, I think that's what I was going to touch upon earlier, is that I would love to see McLaren and Force India battle it out.
And I wouldn't put it past Alonso to sneak onto a podium somewhere.
Mm. Oh, that'd be cool to see.
I think that'd be cool to see.
I'd like to see him have a smile on his face.
Yes, exactly. So exciting times for them. Obviously, Alonso also doing WEC this year, which is just mad. He's a mentalist.
Yeah.
And he'll start to regret that if McLaren become very competitive. But anyway, good things, exciting things to see from McLaren. But yes, let's touch on the hilarity, I think, that is Toro Rosso Honda. At the end of last year, everyone was like, poor Toro Rosso, they're getting Honda gone. Like, that's the end of that team. They're not going anywhere.
What have they done to that engine?
the most mileage of any team, Toro Rosso Honda, like averaging 100 laps a day. They absolutely bossed it.
Yeah.
I mean, not a huge amount of performance, but that, again, we can't really look at the times of testing. You could never look at the times of testing, but specifically this week.
This week, yeah.
But in terms of reliability, what an amazing turnaround by Honda over the winter.
I think if anyone can take anything from testing, it's the fact that Toro Rosso have been incredibly reliable.
Yeah.
Because they've just been pushing
just
laps.
Bashing
in out.
And I do think there might be something in the fact that I heard a lot of rumors around this and spoke to a few people at Barcelona. McLaren and Honda just batted heads because McLaren was so set on the design of their car, the aerodynamics, the package that they were trying to create, that Honda were like, we're going to struggle to make that fit in your super size zero package. And McLaren were like, well, you have to.
Yeah.
And I think Toro Rosso have been a lot more forgiving or a lot more open to what Honda have been saying. And that is, you know, speaks volumes when they look at the reliability. And the performance might not be there, but they're a midfield team. So
F1 is a team game.
Team game.
Team sport.
Team sport, exactly. So I'm going to be intrigued to see how Toro Rosso do, because they've the last 5 years, though, they've always been around and about.
Yeah.
They've just performed well.
I'm excited to see the drivers as well, because obviously they're both fairly new to F1.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Hartley, not in the grand scheme of things, but amazingly in terms of actually driving in races, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, had a shocking... They both were thrown at that team at the end of the last year. Yeah. And had a shocking time with engine penalties and grid penalties and blah, blah, blah. So hopefully starting from afresh, a new partnership, new things going on, it'll be cool to see for sure. Haas.
Love Grosjean.
I have nothing to say about Haas, though. Why do you love Grosjean? Gross jeans, I call him.
I just think he's... I've heard through the grapevine...
He's got a massive schlong.
in Formula One. That he is actually an insanely fast driver.
Really?
And he has proved himself in some of the...
he did.
But it's the car that is the sort of... That brings the Asbo in him. Like, it's almost uncontrollable.
Well, yeah, because there's never any brakes. It's just endless brake failure. So I feel like almost... last year he crashed at every single session of every single track.
Yeah, that's why I like it so much. Because I think it's just like... It just adds a little bit of entertainment to him. And he is a really fast driver. And I just think he's got a bit of a character about him that I just love seeing him put a helmet on.
I find him a complainer. I find he's a moaner.
I get excited and nervous at the same time when he drives out of the pits.
Nervous for him.
It's like cameras, get on Grosjean now.
Get on Grosjean
now. I want to see
this
crash.
He's going to bin it. Yeah,
the Haas team, I just think, I mean, I don't really understand what they're doing.
I think Magnussen, I think hopefully, if they get a drivable car, I would like to see them a little bit more competitive than they were. Yeah. What colours the Haas car? I haven't even seen
But this is what I mean. Like,
it was really cool. Is it the same?
It's got a bit more white. They've added a big chunk of white.
Okay.
But I just think they're a bit of a nothing team. I think they're there for Ferrari to test a few parts on, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope they start to perform a little bit better, but they just feel like also ran. Do you know what I mean? And also ran. The Haas team.
Yeah.
Grosjean was in a wall and Magnussen finished 17. So yeah, I don't have a lot of emotion around Haas and a lot to say. They didn't do anything particularly impressive at testing, but let's wait and see what happens with them this season. Moving on, I think very excitedly to Renault, the works Renault team. You touched upon the fact you love the livery. What do you love about the livery?
Satin black.
Oh, sick. Black and yellow. Black and yellow. Black and yellow. Black.
Wiz Khalifa days.
It looks great, the car,
right? It does look good. And I think last year as well, they did show some of their performance potential in a couple of their races.
Definitely like, again, towards the end of the season.
Yeah, once they got rid of that.
the other guy. Palmer.
Yeah.
R.I.P. aside from Ricciardo and Verstappen, I think is the next most exciting driver lineup of Hülkenberg and Sainz.
Perez and Ocon.
No, Perez and Ocon, but I think Hülkenberg and Sainz, is like...
But they're both just cool dudes.
Cool dudes. I think Sainz is super exciting talent. Hülkenberg obviously just rock solid.
Yeah.
And I think Renault are going to do big things this year. I think 100% I see them getting a podium. I definitely see Renault getting a podium. I think they look solidly competitive. I think they're going to be battling. I think it's going to be McLaren-Renault for that fourth spot. I think that's going to be the fight with Force India nibbling at their tail. But I think both of those teams
really cool
have pushed forward. And I think Sainz is going to help them become a much more competitive team. Hülkenberg just always delivers.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a tough time holding Sainz back, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Sainz is super quick. And I think watching him last season when he was at Toro Rosso, wasn't
mm-hmm.
he? I just always felt like he wanted to get further up the grid.
Yeah.
But the car didn't allow him
to. So I think there's exciting things to come for there. And as you say, the car looks fantastic. Yeah. And they showed some promise on the dry moments of the Barcelona test. And finally, we move on to Alfa Romeo Sauber.
Cool looking car.
Great brand.
Way better than last year.
Awesome to have the partnership.
Yeah.
Officially, I think they're saying that they're running Alfa Romeo engines. Obviously, they're just rebadged Ferrari engines.
It's
a
Giulia engine.
Yeah. Quadrifoglio engine.
8C.
But yeah, so very cool partnership there. Mm. Cool to have that iconic brand back in the sport. Thoughts on Ericsson, Marcus?
A little controversial, right?
Yeah.
Like, to keep him in?
Yeah, just... he hasn't done anything yet to prove that he's any great talent. I'm sure he is to deserve a seat in Formula 1. You're not going to be slow.
Yeah.
But he's not done anything that made me think, God, this guy's really got something. Mm.
But the car, the car is not as competitive as other cars. I'm sure this is the one thing that I would love to see in F1 is just equal cars.
No, get out, leave.
Just to show driver talent.
But I'm sorry, no.
I've had this conversation with a couple of people in motorsport.
Because, firstly, that's the antithesis of Formula One is that it's a team sport. And so it's all about the ingenuity and engineering and the fact that they've got to make better cars to win. But my point being that even in an underperforming shite car, you can see talent. And I hate to be a Hamilton fanboy.
Yeah.
I hate.
No,
but
don't.
In every single...
I love it, really.
I love it, really.
Yeah.
Every single season, that man has won a race. And you could say, oh, you know, he's always had a good car. 2009, people. 2009, McLaren were poop.
Yeah.
Like, poop. Yet that man wins races.
Yeah.
And Alonso, back when he was driving for Minardi, you went, this guy's got something.
Yeah.
You know, there's just times I'm going to look through now. Ocon in Force India. Yes, they're a competitive team, but you see that guy's got talent.
Mm.
Sainz driving for Toro Rosso, people saw that he had talent. He's got to get a better drive.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's an excuse for Ericsson to go, oh, my car's a bit crap.
Mm.
Like, I just don't think it is. I think you can prove that you've got Stroll in a shitty Williams managed to perform on occasions very well. People went, okay, hold on a sec. He's not a piss take.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think Lance has definitely got more driver ability than Ericsson.
Where have those results been for Ericsson? And I'm not saying he expects to be on pole or on a podium or whatever, but if the car is only capable of 17th, where are his 14th, 13th, 12th, when you go, that's a pretty impressive result.
Yeah.
You know, God, RIP Bianchi, in a freaking Manna Marussia whatever, getting a point at Monaco.
Yeah.
People were like, this guy, talent.
Yeah.
And what is going to be so interesting this year is Charles Leclerc.
I'm really excited about, obviously, seeing him race in Formula 1. Watched a little bit of him last year during support races and things like that. And I think he will give Ericsson a hard time.
I think more than a hard time. So a lot of pressure's on this guy. If you don't know, Charles Leclerc.
Bossed it.
French man. Monegasque.
Yeah.
Bossed it. I mean, he won the Formula 2 championship like no one else was taking part. I mean, like, pole on like 75% of the races, like came through the field a number of times. Like, he's just...
Have you seen Abu Dhabi last year?
Oh my God, it's ridiculous. He looks like another level of talent.
Yeah.
Of a sort of Hamilton, Verstappen, Alonso, Vettel type skill level. First year in Formula 1, always going to be difficult. These cars are, we keep getting told, are very hard to drive. And Ericsson is now in what, his third or fourth season?
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. I would expect him to wipe the floor with Ericsson.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, I think it will be quite a sort of, hold on a sec. I think it will be.
Ericsson's talent or Leclerc?
No, Leclerc maybe needs...
But again, I think give him at least half a season.
Oh, for sure.
At least.
But I could see him pulling out a few of those... Oh my God, he's qualified 10th. What? He's done what?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think Sauber are going to jump out of the box and be competitive. It's going to take a while for that Alfa Romeo relationship to come into fruition. but I'm excited to see what he's going to be able to do in a really awful car.
I think the driver lineup this year is actually really exciting because you've got some weird ends of the spectrum in terms of talent, driver style,
car performance.
And whilst we can't take that much away from testing, especially this year, more so than most, I just can't wait for Australia in that first corner.
I know. I always love Australia because Australia is always a mad race, isn't it? Because it's a street track, it never really relates to any of the rest of the year. So you're like, oh my God, it's crazy. Like, Toro Rosso are the best team. And then never to be seen for the rest of the year.
I just find that first corner is just like impossible to get out alive.
Yeah, I'm so much looking forward to that as well. Now we've run through all of the teams, all of the drivers. Let's move on to the very controversial topic, which is kind of dominating Formula One at the moment, Halo.
I was just about to sing Beyonce, but I just can't remember the words.
Halo, halo, halo. Yeah. Halo. I shouldn't know that so well. Okay, so I want to hear all your thoughts. A few things that I'll just say after seeing it in the flesh. I think it visually looks horrific. I think the cars look weird. I find it very difficult to identify the drivers.
I think the point that you made is very valid, that you kind of feel disconnected away from the driver. And you, when you said, like, it could almost be a robot driving that car.
Yeah.
But I feel like in F1 in general, even though it is an open cockpit, like, sometimes you really have to think when you see these cars zip past, there's a human being in there. Because they are so talented and make it look so easy on something that is almost impossible for anyone else to do. And they make it look so easy that it is difficult to connect to a driver. Even at live races, through a TV or live, it is quite difficult, and the halo doesn't make it.
Well, you identified the driver predominantly through the helmet. And I know they've really tried to increase the size of the driver's numbers on the car, but I forget whose numbers
I use numbers quite a lot.
Oh, okay. I'll know if I in the team kind of, but sometimes I'm a bit like, for me, it was always the helmet. For me, a way to kind of, like, as you say, connect with the driver and kind of, you know, when a shot went past and like that, the helmet was my sort of way in, like, okay, there we go.
So there was a photo that Mercedes posted of, it was Bottas and Raikkonen, I believe, next to each other on the home show.
It was Vettel, I think it was Vettel. It was the day I was there, Bottas and Vettel.
And they were like, oh, it's
we've missed this, guys.
Yeah, it's so good to be back. And I was just like, oh, who?
Yeah, well, then you just got it wrong.
Who is it? Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. But I identified it by the numbers.
Interestingly, in real life, it's a lot easier to see the helmets.
Okay.
So it's the TV angles that I think are going to make it difficult.
Yeah.
And a little disappointing. The thing which I found very interesting, so we've got to remember this is all about safety, and Formula One released quite an interesting video of why they've introduced the halo. Over in America, they're testing this sort of windscreen type device, which I think looks better, but Formula One argued doesn't offer the same amount of protection. Now, if we go back to the Massa incident with the bouncing piece of metal that hit him on the head, I think that could still happen with the halo. Yeah. I don't think it offers that much protection. I think a car coming in on a side impact, my first question is that not going to launch that car up into the air a bit more? So what's going to happen? I'm sure they've tested it a million times, but it seems
I think this is the thing that I have picked up on and just understood and accepted, is that there is more than just one guy sketching all sorts of different designs for safety. And they must have had hundreds of meetings, hundreds of hours, millions of tests, all different designs. And I kind of just have to respect and accept the halo as that's the best that they could come up with. Like,
whoa. Here he is knocking the microphone around. So excited about the halo.
You just saying there that, like, it's going to launch the car up. Like, I'd much rather have the halo launch a car up a little bit higher than see someone get decapitated.
Yeah, decapitated is not good. But can we also just say, in all of the accidents, and especially the ones that Formula One used as kind of proof as to why they've introduced the halo, apart from obviously the horrible thing with Bianchi, which was a freak accident, no one has lost a hand or a head. Like, that hasn't happened.
Look at the Alonso crash.
Yeah, I mean,
and he just got out and walked.
Well, okay, so this is what I wanted to come on
to. Okay, go.
So I spoke to a couple of drivers at Barcelona and a couple of team people.
I was a Barcelona.
Unnamed drop, if you like. but a couple of the team guys as well. There are increased safety concerns around the Halo. So the first thing is getting in and out of the car,
yeah,
which now looks horrendously awkward. Yeah. And a lot of drivers are actually struggling with it. People have had their suit caught on the Halo. People have tripped over the Halo. And the biggest thing is, forever, to be allowed to drive a Formula One car, you had to get out of the cockpit in 5 seconds.
Okay.
So anyone who had an injury, that was always the test. You've got to be able to get out in 5 seconds in case there's a fire.
Yeah.
Because of the Halo, they've decided to increase that to 10. Now, the thing is, they're like, okay, well, as long as you can get out in 10, you're fine. Well, at what point is the fire decreased?
Yeah.
You've just done that because the Halo's getting in the way. So to me, you're putting somebody at more risk if the car's on fire. And let's face it, these engines, I think, are very complicated. And we do see drivers having to jump out of that car pretty quickly. The bigger thing is that with the different hybrid systems in this, how many times have we seen cars come to a halt and drivers had to leap from the car because they don't want to get a ground effect and don't want to get electrocuted? They can't do that because of the Halo. Drivers are struggling to leap from their car to the ground because they're tripping on the Halo. So that's another concern.
Mm.
The third and final concern is if a car does roll and get tripped on an angle or upside down,
it's almost impossible.
It's almost impossible to get out of the car. But also, heaven forbid, there's a structural issue with the Halo, which there shouldn't be because that's how they've designed it, to withstand a lot. But heaven forbid, you are running very close to a Senna-esque issue of that Halo coming very close to someone's helmet or body. So I think that's the least of the concerns because I think that's what they would have tested a million times. But I do find it bizarre that they're putting the driver at sort of risk of getting in and out of the car over and beyond any kind of impact.
See, these are the things that I haven't heard or seen. Mm. Ejector seat, surely.
Ejector seat with a parachute. But on top of that, it looks horrific. Like, I think it looks horrific.
It doesn't look great. I think seeing a lot more pictures of it and videos, it's bigger than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And
have you seen an onboard shot yet? Like a T-cam shot?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, looks always like a basketball hoop. Lucy.
I just go back to that sort of, to get to that point, they must have done so many tests and so many.
But you say there's money as well. There's money involved as well. And somebody who came up with that design there's a lot of money involved. Mm. And when there's money involved like that, I never quite trust it because the windscreen, I can see what the issues are with the windscreen that they're testing in America. But the Halo seems...
The bugs hitting the windscreen.
Well, I need windscreen wipers.
Yeah.
but the Halo just seems a bit rudimental and a bit... And I'm all for safety. Don't get me wrong. Like, heaven forbid we ever have a serious accident in Formula One again where somebody, you know, young, old, whatever, loses their life. But at the same time, for a sport and a thing that's so technically advanced, the Halo seems a little bit fucking basic to my mind. Just close the cockpit, for God's sake. Just put a bloody canopy over it.
Yeah, but that will really send people over the edge.
I don't know. Anyway, it's a weird one. And I don't think we're going to get used to it. And if I'm honest, I do think it will change.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think this is the sort of final tech that's going to enhance driver safety. And because it is so new and so just not what we're used to, it will take a while to get used to it. But there's nothing we can do about it.
No. Very, very good point. Okay, so look, we'll leave the Halo. Of course, it'd be great to get everyone's thoughts. I know it's a super controversial topic. People have been very vocal about it on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere.
We could talk about an even more controversial topic. Grid girls.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, it wasn't that controversial because we talked about it on a previous podcast. No one really cared.
Oh, really?
Just very briefly, do you actually care about grid girls? Does it actually bother you?
No,
now there's grid kids. I mean, that's kind of what they should have done in the first place.
Like, I think the only uncomfortable time that I had was I was at Monza and they had the grid girls almost like paraded through the
classic
crowds.
Italy.
And it was just,
classic
it
Italy.
It was grim.
Yeah. But I mean, like, so in the grand scheme of things,
it doesn't make the sport.
It does nothing, really. They're gone.
I just felt uncomfortable at that moment. And I was just like, a little bit over the edge.
So let us know your thoughts on the Halo in the comment section below. I now want to, because we're going massively over time on this one, we've gone in on the F1 special.
Apologies.
especially for those of you who aren't interested in Formula 1, you definitely wouldn't be listening by now. So thanks for those of you who are still listening. Let's make our predictions for the 2018 season. So I want your driver's championship, first, second, and third, and your team's first, second, and third. In the order.
Obviously. <Yeah.
laughs> You've got to be... Verstappen in second.
No, I think I would love to see Lewis win the fifth championship. He has to go at the top for me. I would love it if Verstappen could turn up and come second.
It's not what you want. It's what you think is going to happen. But
oh, no. I'm going on my wish list.
Okay.
I'm going to win £5.
Hamilton, Verstappen. Oh, you just can't ignore Vettel. It's really annoying because I don't want to see Ferrari up there.
Oh, get out.
I'm going to say, yeah, Hamilton, Verstappen, Vettel.
Okay. And teams?
Merck, Ferrari, Red Bull.
Merck, Ferrari, Red Bull. Yeah, we're not going to differ that much, but I'm going to go...
I want Verstappen. I knew that I could probably guess what you're going to do.
I'm going to go Hamilton first.
Rosberg.
Vettel. Rosberg! Subbed in for Bottas! Hamilton first, Vettel second.
Kubica.
Ricciardo third.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
So first, second, third. That's cool. I think Bottas fourth, Verstappen fifth, Raikkonen sixth. Anyway, we're moving on.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's first, second. And teams. Sure. Teams. I'm going to say Sauber. Mercedes, Red Bull.
Oh, Ferrari. Really?
I think Ricciardo and Verstappen, as long as they don't come to blows, will provide stronger results throughout the year than Vettel and Raikkonen. Because I think, let's say it's Mercedes 1-2, Hamilton Bottas, then Vettel.
Yeah.
I then think it will be Danny Ric and Verstappen before Raikkonen. Raikkonen. So I think as a team, Red Bull will, as long as they sort their lives out,
yeah,
I think can jump.
I would love to see that. And that's not because I am a big Red Bull fan. I'm a bigger Aston Martin fan.
I think it would be an exciting time for them to start working their way back up. So those are, that's it. £5 bet done. We will review this at the end of the season. So November, maybe even December, depending on when we can sort this out. God, that's been a long time away, doesn't it?
It does.
And we'll listen to these back and see. And I guess it's whoever gets the closest.
Yeah.
I mean, we've both gone for Hamilton winning the championship. So it's then whether Verstappen or Ricciardo gets in the top three, basically. Oh, God.
Who do you think?
Find out. Yeah, put your predictions below. Actually, that would be good, actually. I'd love to know. Team and drivers, top three predictions. Not who you want, who you think realistically are going to be finishing in those positions. We've gone over an hour.
Christ!
I really do apologise for wasting anyone's time out there. But yeah, these F1 specials, we've got a lot to talk about when it comes to F1.
I'm looking forward to the...
We've nerded out a little bit. It hasn't been very light-hearted. We've just gone in on the facts. Yeah. So I hope F1 fans out there have enjoyed it. We're excited to do more of these as the season goes on. Some races we're going to be attending. We'll try and bring you as much behind-the-scenes information as possible. That's the whole point of this podcast. And I tried to share a little bit from testing, but really I just went and nerded out with my camera. So there wasn't much more to say. Just very quickly on how the cars sound. A lot of people commented on my videos saying the cars sound different. I personally didn't find that. I think it might have been the microphones that I use compared to TV. To me, the cars sounded the same.
They from the videos that I saw, it sounded a little bit more high-pitched.
I definitely didn't go, oh yeah, the cars sound really good.
Yeah.
From that point of view, I don't think so. But you can find out if you're going down to a Formula One race or Goodwood Festival of Speed or wherever it might be.
Will they have a current...
Maybe. I don't think they're actually allowed to, are they? No. But sometimes they can rev them up. They can sit them and rev them up.
Maybe.
Anyway. So yeah, that's it. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Give it a thumbs up if you have. As I say, if you're watching us here on YouTube, make sure you're subscribing to the Behind the Glass channel for the weekly episodes. Turn on the little notifications bell so you know when these episodes go out. They're usually Sunday night. Sometimes they're a bit late. And then if you're listening to us, make sure you're following on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass or on iTunes podcast by searching Seen Through Glass. Any final words, Paul? Good, thanks for coming along.
I actually need a Red Bull.
You do need a Red Bull because we've got a very busy day ahead. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll catch up with you very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.